I'm calling from the University of Connecticut, and
yes.
I noticed that we are the last stop on your long journey.
Well, this isn't really a long tour. It's just we're playing in Stillwater, Minnesota tomorrow night, and then we're going to Syracuse, and then going back to teach a day, and then coming to stores.
Wow, is that a normal agenda for you folks?
Well, we all teach our instruments as well as chamber music at Juilliard,
right?
And we're heads of the department, various departments, and so it's really two full-time jobs, and we don't. It's not a traveling road show. We don't just go off and, you know, a couple of times a year, yes. I mean, we do a couple of European tours a year. We have many times an Asian tour. We're going to Japan for a week next week, starting the 30th, to play Miyazaki Festival. But more often, it's this sort of thing that we're doing right now, where we go out quickly on a weekend and play a Friday and a Saturday concert, come back to New York, play something Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's more often like that. Quick outs.
Well, that's interesting. I did realize that not only were you the players of the instruments, but you were teaching as well. Must be very rewarding.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more or less in various kind of shared ways responsible for about 20 cellists.
Wow.
And I want to be. I mean, very involved in teaching, and yep. we also involved in teaching chamber music. Later in the spring, I think May 23rd or something, we give an invitational quartet seminar where groups from around the country, around the world, come to Juilliard for a week, and we do intensive quartet training. We're doing that as part of a quartet seminar for a week at Tanglewood in June.
Mm-hmm.
And then just throughout, we teach our instruments. During the summertime, we go in different places. Mr. Copes and I teach at Kneisel Hall, chamber music and the instruments. Mr. Rhodes goes to Marlboro. Mr. Smirnoff has a Green Mountains Festival in Korea where he goes and does some teaching, as well as Tanglewood.
Nice.
And we're all very involved in the teaching at Juilliard on a permanent basis. But we're also full-time Juilliard string quartet. We rehearse every day when we're in New York, and we rehearse on the road very often.
Jeez. My goodness, I didn't realize how rigorous a schedule, or a life, I guess,
it's pretty involved. We just played at the Library of Congress in Washington and in Tully Hall this past week.
Wow. Those are some nice venues.
What's that?
Those are nice venues.
Yes.
My goodness. Very nice. Honorable, huh?
Yeah, well, it's something we do regularly. We play a couple of Tullys a year and various things. Certainly the Library of Congress has been something quite regular for many years.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're a Connecticut native, correct?
Yes, that's right. I'm from New Haven.
Oh, New Haven, I was going to say. What kind of music? So you're surrounded by classical music almost all the time, I imagine. Is there any other type of music that you, I don't want to say enjoy, I'm sure you enjoy many different types of music, but is there any other type of music that you would try to branch out and actually play?
Well,
Or have you?
Well, I have a certain amount, but I'm a classical musician.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sonata team with a great pianist, Gilbert Kalish. We play recitals during the year. I do solo playing, concerti, and various things. Mr. Smirnoff, our first violinist, Joel Smirnoff, is an accomplished jazz player. He's got Ellington and various kinds of jazz recordings out. And he plays occasional club dates and all kinds of things. He's got numbers of great jazz appearances that he's made and that he's recorded.
Fantastic.
He's got a Joe Venuti album out. He does, I'm spacing out the name, Tony, the singer, great.
Tony Bennett?
He does regular appearances with Tony Bennett, and he's recorded with him.
Nice.
So Joel is an accomplished jazz violinist.
Beautiful.
And as always, also, there are a couple of composers in the quartet. Joel is a composer. Sam Rhodes is a serious composer. And there have always been a couple of composers in the quartet.
That very well-rounded group. Absolutely. So, now, any of your current students, high hopes, real high hopes for any of your current students?
Yes. I mean, a number of them do absolutely marvelous things. Of course, the young quartets that we've coached are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as it's probably in our bio and everything, but the Brentano Quartet, the St. Lawrence Quartet, the Avalon Quartet, I mean, all kinds of quartets that we've coached are out and about.
Yes, they sure are.
And as far as, students of mine, for example, cellists, the Naumburg Award winner of a couple of years ago, Clancy Newman, a student of mine, Rupe Ye, just got into the New York Philharmonic. One has that all the time. Very fine student of mine, Amir Eldon, has just become a professor at Oberlin College. A former student of mine and my former assistant and now colleague, Juilliard Darrett Atkins, is also teaching at Oberlin College. One's high hopes for one's students all depends, of course, on all of us, you and we as trainers, people who present music, people who write about music and everything, that this society of ours will care enough about this stuff in the future so that there will be appearances, jobs, positions, for these very fine, gifted people.
Is that a concern? At this point,
well, I mean, just simply look. If you can imagine it, if there are not presenting organizations who reach out into the younger generation, and many of the old members of an immigrant audience that was here in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s are now growing old or passing on. And who's going to be in the audience in the younger generation? And I'm very proud that Juilliard and Lincoln Center and the Midori Foundation and numbers of organizations are taking very seriously the responsibility of training and initiating a younger generation into concert going and loving of this music that we find so important. But if you look at the governmental situation and various things, we as a society need to declare that this is important. If we don't, it's not going to be important. And there won't be positions for high hopes that we might have for our young, gifted people.
Yeah, that would be a shame.
It's a question audiences, we are most heartened when we see in Europe and the States audiences whose average age is not 65. Audiences who have reached into a younger group of people and have college kids in the audience, high school kids. When we go to Asia and we play in, as we are soon, in Tokyo and in Seoul, South Korea. We sign CDs and autographs of various kinds of pictures for a couple of hours after concert, and all the young people who are asking for them, they're all carrying instruments. They're all studying.
They're all studying.
And whether or not they become musicians is beside the point. They become lovers of music. They become people who will keep chamber music series like yours going. You know, it also depends on university support. You know, University of Connecticut, Syracuse University, where we're playing over the weekend. It's not just we who teach and we who play, but you who write about music, who would in your articles and reviews share. You know, I assume you love and care about music.
Yes.
So you share that with your readers, and you influence and teach your readers what about what you find beautiful about the experience. A concert presenter presents people for concerts, but hopefully hires them also to go into the school and play for young people. A concert presenter makes tickets available at affordable prices to people going to school in the area. We noticed, for example, the Los Angeles Philharmonic with their new Disney Hall. We played a couple of concerts there, and they do quite a splendid job of reaching out into their huge community there in L.A. To people who are going to school in all manner of things out in the greater L.A. area. We noticed at a certain point that a donor to the Library of Congress gave a couple of free concerts to the L.A. Phil of the Juilliard Quartet and told them to get a young audience from all the schools in the area. Well, none of us had ever seen that audience in a concert hall before. You know, it was an audience of an average age probably of under 30.
Wow.
And it was tremendously enthusiastic.
A beautiful surprise.
They applauded in between movements tremendously enthusiastically, and they were on fire.
Nice.
The whole night. And if we do that around the country, then there will be high hopes for the very, very gifted people we teach. I mean, it's something very much on our minds, and especially right now, we've just finished entrance auditions at Juilliard, and I mean, we hear fantastic things. There are gifted people studying the instruments and chamber music and stuff all over the country.
All around the world, I imagine, huh?
Yes, all around the world.
Yeah,
I'm not worried for what is coming out of Beijing and Shanghai,
right?
Seoul, South Korea, various places in Japan. I'm not worried about that. That's on fire, and it always has been. You know, yeah, ever since World War II, after World War II, and. That continues, and with Korea and China really chiming in tremendously strongly. But the efforts in Europe and America have to continue. Europe, they do wonderfully well, and it's a question in our, what can I say? People Magazine, American Idol culture.
Yeah.
Are we going to give a damn enough about this? If we don't, we won't be able to fake it because it won't happen.
Yeah, right. No way.
You know, we can say we care, but unless we put effort and finances behind after-school programs for study, inviting younger audiences to concerts, bringing distinguished music to the schools, then there's no way it can continue. And I think it's in the balance right now. It does beautifully in some places, and some places need to learn how to make, you know, more effort. And it's all of us. It's, as I said, it's the presenters. It's you who write about music. It's we who play it. We who teach it. You know.
Yeah, I agree completely. And
it's an important thing.
It really is. It's funny. I had similar comments from David Harrington of the Kronos Quartet when I spoke with him.
Uh-huh.
You know, about the NASA project and all that they worked with. And yeah, I mean, we're worried. We're a little bit worried that these projects, these high hopes, may never go past the seed stage. So
I mean, they certainly can. I'm very proud of the Juilliard School, and particularly the last 20-some-odd years under Joseph Polisi, the president of the Juilliard School, who has really paid a great deal of attention. Indeed, he has a recent book, you know, The Artist and Society. And he's paid tremendous attention to speaking to the Juilliard students about all the different ways in which we musicians can go into our society and help speak for our cause. And the Juilliard School now, for example, has fellowships that it gives both undergraduate and graduate students to go into the public schools in New York and teach the instruments, teach music appreciation, teach ensemble playing, you know, where they go into the public schools and do this. And Lincoln Center has a whole area of Lincoln Center Chamber Music too that is dedicated to outreach. But I'm very proud of it, of Mr. Polisi and the attitude that the Juilliard School has brought to it, where the, you say, high hopes, the young people I teach are aware that there are many different ways to be artistically involved than just putting on a fancy tuxedo and going out on the stage and taking a bow. You know, there are ways above and beyond that that need to be done.
What are some examples of that?
Well, I mean, going into the schools and playing.
So an obligation to a little bit of education and outreach?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, going into the schools, there are many places. Where was it? The last time we played in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis Friends of Chamber Music hired us for, I guess it was a Sunday evening concert. We played there, or Sunday afternoon, whatever it was. And Monday morning, the Indianapolis Chamber Music Society had hired some extra time from the four members of the Juilliard Quartet. We went to four different educational districts of greater Indianapolis. They bussed in lots of students to each of those four locations. And we played, talked, coached, and spoke about our love for music to probably 200 students in each location.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Or more. Now, that was the Indianapolis Chamber Music Society saying our obligation goes beyond giving a concert at 8 o'clock on Sunday night.
Yep.
And it, you know, whatever it was, paid a day of expenses for us to spend a day in their community doing this.
Mm.
You know, we often, when asked and when we can do it, we'll make extra time to do that. Next year, for example, in addition to our duties at Juilliard, Arizona State University at Tempe, Arizona, has hired us to do a sort of mini artistic residency where we will make three trips to their campus, spending 3 to 4 days each time, doing public rehearsals, coaching, teaching, and playing a concert at each, you know, for each visit. The public rehearsals, for example, are presumably things that for which they will bring school kids and anyone involved in studying in Suzuki programs, in after-school programs, whatever. You never know where the inspiration for this music we love, how it's going to hit. And if you just simply expose people to it in an intelligent way, good things will happen.
Absolutely. I agree with you implicitly. I want to thank you for many things, and the first being reminding me that, you know, in the midst of a lot of craziness in our world, that good things like what happened with the Indianapolis chamber there, that's just a great story. I'm glad people are still doing that, and I'm proud of you know, the University of Connecticut for making sure that they bring you folks here.
Well, we're always very glad. We've played every few years at Storrs.
Yes.
And I mean, it you know, the fact that things can change and go forward in areas, I mean, you know, your terribly famous women's basketball program 15 years ago played in a small place for 200 people.
Yeah, in the field house, the old field house.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and with some passion, and not only that, something else is not lost on me, that at least two graduates of that program are out there now building their own programs.
Right.
That were also in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Made it that far.
Yep.
And I mean, that's something that's happened, what, in the last 15 to 20
yeah.
years?
Well, yeah, you're right. Jen Rosati took her University of Hartford team this
yes.
year. That's amazing.
You know, and that means a couple of people who were under this crazy guy, Oriema,
taught well.
You know, yes, and got the bug.
Got the bug.
You know, and the fact is that many, many people, okay, that's basketball, but still, it was sort of nothing 15 years ago.
It was less than nothing.
You know?
Yeah.
And the fact is that one sees it everywhere, even in, for example, I was laughing the other day, and I forget where it was. We were on tour, and there was a really excellent sushi bar or something in a totally, you know, place where you wouldn't predict that one would be. And, you know, I remember growing up in Connecticut, this and sushi, you know, what pizza was avant-garde.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact is that if one wants to do something, and in communities where people have wished to have people involved in playing music, you can make it happen. You know, just by after-school programs. My career started out so many years ago. In 1963, I took a summer job, what I thought was a summer job, replacing a professor, cello professor at the University of Iowa, and I was going to play a concert with the so-called Iowa String Quartet, which was turned out to be extraordinarily fine, and it was a summer job, and I taught at a, you know, summertime band camp, taught string students, and then taught, you know, graduate students. I was 22 years old, and I was in college, and it turned out that the old professor passed away in the spring, and I never knew about that, and I played a concert with the quartet in the summer. They liked it, and I left college and became a professor at the University of Iowa. Now, Iowa City, Iowa, I mean, none of my friends in the East knew where the hell that was. Well, I went back there recently. They sort of welcomed me back as an old friend, and I did some solo playing and some playing with my old colleagues there and with a new young quartet, the Maya Quartet, who trained under us at Juilliard. and who now the resident quartet at the University of Iowa. And you come out of, you know, the stubble wintertime cornfields of Iowa, and here's a community that has cared about music, chamber music, for over 70 years.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, yep. They had it. They welcomed some European emigre people who had to leave Europe in the late 30s. And they had a string quartet there. And when the members of the Iowa Quartet, then called the Stradivari Quartet, retired, that community wrote the university and said, hey, we don't want to be without a resident quartet. Hire somebody. And they did.
See?
And I came out of the, you know, the gray sky and cornfields from the Cedar Rapids Airport, was taken into the University of Iowa, unpacked my bags, and in 2 hours I was rehearsing Brahms Sextet with this young quartet and an old violist colleague, William Prussell, and myself playing. And I was thinking, God, it's magic. It's still, well, the magic, meantime, the wife of that violist, Prussell, had formed an after-school Suzuki school, right, which was enormously, and it trained dozens of young players. And the concert was packed. And there's music out of the cornfields. You know, and it's
Field of Dreams.
Yes, it's exactly that.
Yeah.
And the fact is that you yourself are very involved in it also, because if you write about music in you know, a sort of evangelical way, just sharing your love for it, then somebody's going to go, gee, he must know something. I'm going to go try it.
Yeah.
You know, and after all, the stuff that we share, Beethoven, Mozart, Schubert, Opus 131, Beethoven, as we're playing, you know, and or the contemporary work, Vignau, that we're playing in stores, this isn't junk. This stuff is great music.
Yeah, it has survived the times, for sure.
Yes.
Yes.
And the new stuff will survive the times. You know, the stuff that the Cronus is playing and believing in.
Oh.
You know.
Very emotional stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Very emotional. Well, Mr. Krosnick, I want to thank you for your time. I don't want to take up any more of it. I know you just got in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look forward to the show Tuesday night, and I thank you for coming to our little community.
Great. Come back and say hello.
Oh, I shall. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good night.